This is Jason David Frank, and you're listening to the Geek Cast Radio Network.
You're listening to the Geek Cast Radio Network. The geek in you.
Hello and welcome to GeekCast Radio. This is episode 91, and this is our big 90s spotlight thing. From episode 91 and 99, we're going to be doing some 90s stuff here on GeekCast Radio. I am, of course, one of your hosts, TFG and Mike. Joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello.
Yes.
I'm good.
You're good. That's right. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a few trends from the decade that was the 90s. We'll give it to you in 30 minutes or less, just like pizza. So, 90s trends and fads. Wow. Pogs. We'll start with that, because that was suggested by Jesus and a few other people as well.
Newsflash. It's a Pog milk cap invasion. Milk cap sightings are pouring in by the thousands. The cause is anyone's guess.
It's the official World Pog Federation milk cap maker. For the first time ever, you can make your own milk caps. It's cool because it's totally easy. Just load in the picture, line it up, twist, and bam! Make the world's biggest, coolest collection. It's a Pog milk cap invasion.
And in the weather...
The official World Pog Federation milk cap maker. From Cap Toys, who else?
Yeah... The game of Pogs was around a lot earlier than the 90s, but...
It hit mainstream.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because in the 90s, we had, like... They were decorated with all kinds of things you could think of. I remember specific commercials
Well, you
for...
could take paper, like, things you printed off the internet, back in those early days, or magazines or something else, and you could create your own Pogs.
Yep.
If you had the Pog Maker.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I remember specifically, I remember Transformers ones, I remember He-Man ones, I remember probably G.I. Joe ones, Batman ones, Super Friends, all that kind of stuff. The fast food companies did it all the time. Athletic teams. And it was just this simple game where, you know...
Well, basically, you would hit your slammer... Which is like the solid piece on your stack of Pogs, and if you, it was basically a game to trade pieces.
Right. Absolutely. I remember playing this. I remember having this.
I had it. I had a ton of Pogs, and then Slammers, and then the Maker. So.
Yep. Absolutely. It was just a fun game. To me, it was almost like the reverse of Hungry Hungry Hippo. Because eventually the Pogs would go everywhere, not just on the specific board game.
Oh, yeah, it was a mess.
Yep, absolutely. What is so funny is, as I mentioned, there were He-Man and She-Ra designed Pogs as well. And 6 years ago this year, Optimus Solo and I started the Powers of Grayskull series. Pogs. It's exactly why it's named Powers of Grayskull series. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's Powers of Grayskull and He-Man. It has to do with this game specifically, because I wanted that acronym for the podcast. So yeah, good old Pogs. And then we're gonna bop it. Oh, I hated the commercial for this thing.
I hated it. Because it was the most annoying commercial that you could watch.
Hey! Wanna play Bop It? It commands you obey!
Bop it. Twist it. Tap it.
If you can't keep up...
Twist it.
You lose! Once you get your hands on Bop It, you're not gonna wanna stop it! Fast-talking electronic Bop It. Batteries not included.
What was it like? Bop it, touch it, spin it.
What? Slap it.
Slap
punch
it. Punch it. Oh my
whip it.
God. Whip it. Whip it real good. That's right. Pull a little Devo in there. Oh my god. I never had a Bop It. I never wanted a Bop It. The commercial made me puke as a 10-year-old, an 11-year-old. Like, I know.
I used to make fun of it.
Anyone that had this, please sound off in the comments and let us know why you asked your parents for this, or why you actually wanted this, but
I knew a friend that had one, and it was very much a hand-eye coordination thing,
mm-hmm.
which I did not possess as a child. I still don't possess it.
What, hand-eye coordination?
Well,
you play enough video games, you should.
That's different. It's not a video game. It's this stick that with a bunch of different like controls to it.
I know what bop it is. I'm saying you not having hand-eye coordination is surprising considering all the video games you've played over the years.
It's not a video game though.
I know it's not.
Which is why I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
Hockey.
Game on.
I could destroy it.
Yeah.
Literally, I would break the...
Exactly.
So.
And then the 90s was the decade of the rollerblades. Oh, my God. I have no balance at all.
You don't know it's awesome. I have balance. And then the first time I ever saw a rollerblade, my mom, my brothers, and my stepdad, we all went to our local Meijer store, which is basically like a, you know, like a Target or like a Walmart. And we were going to buy some rollerblades. Never before had I used one. However, I thought, you know, I watched as my mom and my stepdad and my brothers put theirs on and I put mine on, and having just watched people, I was able to emulate people just by watching. And so I was able to put them on, and I just started skating around the store. And they're like, how did you pick that up so quickly? They're like, have you ever done this before? I says, nope. I says, I've watched a lot of people use them, though, because we used to have skating, after-school skating with elementary school.
Right, yeah. See, for me, like, because of the cerebral palsy that I was born with and whatever else, I have really, really crappy balance. So putting me in anything on wheels that isn't just me sitting in a car or a bus or whatever is not a good idea at all. I didn't even get to the point of trying rollerblades. My mom put me in a pair of roller skates at one point in the late 80s, early 90s, somewhere between 88 and 92, between the time I was 8 and 12 years old, and yeah, that didn't go well. I mean, I know they always say, oh, you keep falling down, you keep getting back up. Yeah, I fell down once, and I was like, nope, I don't want to be on these fucking wheeled things at all whatsoever. And I wasn't, and they're like, oh, but rollerblades, it's just like walking. For me, nuh-uh, it wasn't. You glide! Yeah, I don't glide so well. How about the koosh balls? Oh, these things. Oh, I remember these things. They were strange as hell, but I still remember them.
Well, they were... I don't know. They were really just weird. I had no interest in them.
Mm-hmm.
Personally. Like, just because. Yeah. But,
Yeah, these... So the koosh balls, folks, they're basically, I guess, balls of yarn. Not in yarn, but, like, it's kind of hard plastic type stuff. Or think of it like everybody took all the aglets in the world, the tips of a shoelace, and put them all together in multicolored fashion type things. I remember the koosh balls ended up, at least in my neighborhood, used to be used as if you couldn't get a really good hacky sack, you would use a koosh ball to play hacky sack. It was a little rough, but these things were all the rage back then. And the sad thing is, when I just Googled it now, Amazon still sells them.
Oh, you can still buy them at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Like, at Meijer stores.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Just absolutely crazy. That's not a really bad 90s trend, but it was just one of those almost head-scratchers at the time. And then there's hacky sack. I hated this game.
Well, that was the thing that all the kind of the sports people would get into.
Yep.
And if you were like among the nerds or the outcasts, like you were like, they would tell you, you know, more or less, get out of here, man. Leave us alone. We're playing hack. And they were the ones that had the that kind of punk emo, like early stuff, skateboarder type setup of the 90s.
Yep, absolutely. And looking at these on Google as well, looking at some of the images of them, they're essentially a koosh ball with beanbags in it. They're not the spiked ball, but they're basically a ball of... It's basically a cat toy for adults, is essentially what Hacky Sack is, as far as the look of it. But these, again, came in all kinds of colors and designs. Oh my god, there's a Pokeball version.
That's I'm not surprised.
I'm not either, but just was not expecting to see that. But, you know, it was a very cool, fun game for those of us that could actually play it. You know, it was to keep, you know, your foot dexterity up and your reflexes and all that. It was very cool at the time.
What's funny is I couldn't hit the stupid ball. No. Like, I could not. I played soccer. Like, to me, hitting a ball was, you know, you're supposed to hit it in, with a destination.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I remember correctly, folks, if you're listening to this, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't Hacky Sack the game itself? It was basically soccer, but it wasn't soccer because, like, you know, you're not hitting it towards a goal, but basically you could only use your feet. If you touched it with your hand, you were out or something. I forget what the rules were to it, but like I remember something about you could only use your feet to play the game, kind of a thing. How about chain wallets? What a grunge thing for the 90s.
What's funny is I had a Spider-Man chain wallet.
Really?
Yep. And funny thing was is I had that for like a long time, and the wallet actually disintegrated long before the chain did. And as a matter of fact, I think I still have the chain in the top of my desk.
Wow.
It's well, the top of my desk is this thing I call the pack rat zone. Meaning that things always go in, but they never see the light of day again.
Yeah,
unless I absolutely need them. And so I'm pretty sure it's in there, because there's stuff that's been in there since I was like 12 that I've never cleaned out, and I'm 31.
Yeah, that Spider-Man chain wallet, wow. I never, I don't know. I never got the whole thing of a chain wallet. I think I had one once, but it wasn't any...
Except was to have the chain dangling there, too. It was so that you had your wallet not getting stolen.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you'd clip it to the front part, and then there was a, like a key ring clip that you could actually have your keys hang from.
Right.
And go into your pocket, which was nice, too, and that's primarily why I used it, was because my wallet was on the chain, my keys were on the chain. Shortly after, I think I had that on my, on my person for, probably until I was about 24. My wife was like, "You have to throw that thing away." She's like, "Get your keys out of this chain. Get rid of the chain. It looks stupid." And I was like, fine. So she made me get a, I got one of those, it's kind of a clip type thing that you get at the hardware store, you know, that clasps to your, belt loop type thing. And so I have my keys hanging from that now. And so it serves the same purpose without being seen.
Yeah.
Because that was, I always liked that aspect more so than the fact my wallet was on a chain.
Yeah. What I love nowadays is not really needing a wallet at all anymore, because I have a phone case with a bunch of pockets in it, so it's like...
I carry a decent amount of cash.
Yeah, see, I don't.
And other miscellaneous gift cards that nobody else wants to hold on to, and so I get stuck with them.
Yeah. All right, how about the Discman? Oh boy.
I remember the Walkman and then the Discman, like, when I got that. That was awesome, and the thing was so huge. I used to listen to it in school, but the key was is it had to be weather where we had a jean jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had, the way my jean jacket was set up, I actually had, like, where your pockets would be for your hands.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the top part of it sewed on the inside, and so it was like the perfect spot to put a Discman in.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't fall out, like, unless you moved your hand from the inner side of the pocket. But it was awesome because I used to I had the cord for the headphones snake through, and, you know, you didn't have the earbuds at the time. No, you had the headphones.
Yeah, headphones, not earbuds.
Yeah, and I love my, like, earphone headbud things that wrap around the ear that I have now. I hated those headphones, but the Walkman thing was hilarious because if you, like, move just right, the thing would skip.
Yep. Yeah, early Sony Discman, not exactly skip technology friendly. Like, it took them a while to do the anti-skip technology. And looking at some of the pictures on Google for the original Discman, oh my god, some of these things are about the size of a Sony PlayStation. Oh my god.
The one, I had a decent one, and it wasn't too big. It was like if you put my Galaxy S5 side by side, and then you layered it one, you know, like two phones deep. So it wasn't, like, terrible, but it wasn't great.
Yes, I mean, over the years, CD players got smaller and smaller and smaller, and then eventually we had, you know, iPods and iPhones and Samsung and stuff, so, yeah, absolutely. But no, the Discman was really, really cool. Like I said before, some of the other non-Discman type stuff that, like, just regular CD players Sony came out with in the mid to late 90s and early 2000s, with the anti-skip technology, so you could actually walk without having the damn thing skip every 2 seconds, was really, really interesting.
Yeah, that I loved having the Discman. The benefit was, too, when I took the Meep test 1 year, which I absolutely hated, I told them that I needed to listen to it. because it would help me perform better on the test, which it did, because I was mad I had to take the test in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite humorous that I got official sanction to use a Walkman or a Discman in class. And granted, the best part was I cranked it up so it was loud. Everybody else could hear it too. But because I told them that, you know, because state mandated tests, you know, and federal mandated tests, you know, they wanted you to perform well. So I told them it did, and it did.
Yep.
Because I got to tune out everybody. Like, I can't think in dead silence. Like, if I'm listening to something I want to listen to and I'm distracted, I think clearer than if I'm dealing with that. So it was just funny in general.
Absolutely. And then there was the Talk Boy.
Plaza Hotel reservations, may I help you?
Howdy do. This is Peter McAllister, the father.
Yes, sir.
I'd like a hotel room, please.
Yes.
With an extra large bed, a TV, and one of those little refrigerators you have to open with a key.
Yes, sir. You'll need a major credit card upon check-in.
Credit card? You got it.
You can have lots of high-tech fun with Tiger's Talkboy tape recorder.
Hey, stop drooling on me.
It even has speed control.
Hi, kids. We're home early.
Tiger's Talkboy tape recorder comes with audio cassette. Batteries not included.
Anyone that doesn't know what the Talkboy is, you'll know when you listen to the episode, folks, because I would have just played a clip of it. But the Talkboy was generally just a tape recorder, but it got huge notoriety from Home Alone 2 when Macaulay Culkin as Kevin McAllister used it to record part of the Celebrity Ding Dang Dong show, and he recorded the Plaza Hotel phone number off of it and things like that. And you could use it to slow your voice down or speed your voice up or whatever. And I always wanted one of those Talkboy things. I never got one.
Yeah, I was a little miffed that I never got one as a child either, and especially when I would read comic books and see them in it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought it was a really, really cool thing. If you watch the Talkboy commercial, you know, it's the kid slinking around, trying to get his sister in trouble with her boyfriend, kind of a thing. It's very, very funny. And then they eventually made a Talk Girl, which is essentially just a pink version for girls.
Basically.
You know, so there's that, you know, equal opportunity talk recording things. But yeah, that was something, you know, 11, 12-year-old me absolutely wanted back then in 91, 92. And then we've got the Frosted Tips hair design. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, remember every artist in the under the sun had that?
Pretty much NSYNC, and anybody else in the 90s boy band type stuff, yeah. Oh, God, Frosted Tips, like, why?
Well, like I said, it's funny because I had them too. So.
That's me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've wanted to dye my hair several colors over the years and things like that, but I've never done, like, for me, it's like I get up, take a shower, wash my hair, get out, dry my hair, comb it a little bit, and just go. Like, I've never...
This is why I shave my head to the point of not having hair, because then I don't have to do anything to it anymore. And yeah. The reason I did that is because back in the day, when I lived at home, I just had normal, like a bowl cut at one point, or like feathered hair, you know, at some point.
Bowl cuts.
Basically,
oh my God.
It's basically that. And then yeah. My mom had talked me into changing it, so like I spiked my hair for a while. And then she took me to this place, and then I'd get, you know, the highlights or the frosted tip things put in, and so it just, you know, I did that for like 3 years, and then it got to the point I needed a haircut like every 3 weeks because my hair grew so fast. And it just looked like I had Bart Simpson hair after a while. And so yeah. I just was like, this is ridiculous. And so I just started like not doing the highlights anymore. And then I stopped doing the spiking too. And then I started doing this like down spike thing. And then after a while I got my own haircut stuff and started cutting my own hair because it was just cheaper. So it's, I just buzz it all off.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I don't know why Frosted Tips would ever make a comeback. Like,
I don't think they will, but...
No, it's... I don't think they will either, but, like, I never understood that. Like, I understand most of the hairstyles of the 90s, but sadly, that's not one of them.
Yeah, it's still funny, though.
Mm-hmm. And then there was the Trapper Keeper fad. Trapper Keepers are essentially foldable notebook type folder things. You can have dividers in it with paper. It's basically for school. And oh man, like I remember having a mini Trapper Keeper collection because they had all kinds of designs on these things. These are kind of like, you know, the pogs for schoolwork kind of stuff. Like, you could get almost anything on these things that you wanted, if you could find it, obviously. Came in multiple colors, very organized. It was like having a three-ring binder, and it was an all-in-one desk kind of thing all at once. They've made ones thicker than what the normal one was. They've made ones thinner. I don't know. My organizational skills as a kid were kind of lacking, so having that was very, very interesting and very, very cool. And then to end this first part of the 90s fads and trends and things like that, we're going to talk about the Super Soakers, even though they were pretty much in the 80s as well, late 80s as well, I think. Super Soaker, very, very popular in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny.
I had several of them, and I was a force to be reckoned with. I had one particular kind. I don't even remember what kind it was of the Super Soaker. What was it? Super Soaker?
Was it the 50?
No. I had the 2000 at one point. Which was, it was ridiculous on its force that it had.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? The 200? No, the 200 had the double barrel.
Yeah.
Which I had a friend that had that. We had the Super Soaker 100.
Okay.
Which dates us a lot. I had the orange one, and it looks like, if you watch Star Trek, the original series, it looks like the hand rifle that Captain Kirk used.
Oh, okay.
And so anyways, this particular one, the beauty of this thing was, is it had basically like the way the nozzle worked for the bottle on it,
mm-hmm.
you could screw in a 2 liter if you wanted to. Because it was basically a 20-ounce bottle, like a long, or basically like one of those 16.9-ounce pop bottles. Is basically the form factor of this bottle right. that's on there, and then it would pump up pretty hard onto the little jug on the back. But the awesome thing I figured out is you can hook up a hose to it.
See, that's not right.
Well, what happened is we had these neighbors behind us that were just total dicks. Uh-huh. And being vindictive as a child and not taking crap from anybody and modeling it after Captain Kirk, who doesn't take anything from anybody, I hooked up the hose to my Super Soaker. And my brothers are sitting there, you know, we're shooting Super Soakers over the fence, and they were hitting us with you know, these more expensive Super Soakers. And we had these older Super Soakers, and I was like, this is just lame. And so I hooked it up to the hose, and I blasted them. We didn't play that game anymore.
Obviously not.
Because I won.
Yeah.
They still sell that one. They've got, I think you can still buy it, but it's like blue now instead of the orange. Like a special edition, like 20th anniversary version or something.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many Super Soaker models over the years. And, I mean, after all, it is a Nerf thing. So, you know, it's either Nerf or nothing, right? You know, so I remember having, I think, Super Soaker 30 and 50 at one point or another. I don't ever remember having 100 or 200. I know friends that had the 200, because, like you said, the 200 was the double barrel, right?
The 200 was the double barrel. The 100 was the other one. I think I had... No, I didn't even have... That's right. I didn't even have the 100. I had the Super Soaker 50, which did the same thing.
Yeah, see, that's what I had, too. I had the Super Soaker 50.
I just saw a picture of the 50 while I was looking at it. I'm like, I had that. And then I also had the... I think I may have had the 100 as well. And then we also had the X-105.
Yeah.
Which was just ridiculous power.
Yeah, it was.
So.
What is so funny about this, folks, that we're talking about Super Soakers in GCR 91 here, we talked about those a little bit in Podcaster Meets World Episode 1, because that, one of those first three episodes of Boy Meets World, they had a water war, and everybody had a Super Soaker except Corey. so funny. I think that's going to do it for us in episode 91, folks, for 90s Trends Part 1, or whatever we're going to call this in the post. Yeah, 90s Trends Part 1. Join us next time for 90s Trends Part 2 to hear us what we're going to bring up with... some food trends and some other trends as well that were big in the 90s. Where can the people find you online, Steve?
On the Twitters at SCP21.
You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other show updates and network updates. I am at TFG1Mike. Unleash the 90s Geek in You, and we will catch you next time here on Geekcast Radio.